Rua Kere Honda's with us today. We'll start off too, brother, by finding out where the most unusual place you've ever found your remote control for the TV in your house. Rua Kere, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Dale. Me tēnā pātai nuine. Where have I found? Probably in the clothes drawer, putting away clothes, and it gets stuck in between clothes, and then it gets packed into a drawer, and no one finds it until you take it to you. Decide to put those clothes on.
Tēnā koe. I think we've gone out and bought a new remote and then found it some weeks later in strange
myself
places.
Myself included, yeah.
Good on you. Hey, I was quite interested because in some reports, and firstly, let's acknowledge the situation for Taranaki Maunga, but I noticed that some places were spelling it with an A and some with an O, and I just wondered whether there was something in that. And when I Googled Maunga, with an O, Richie came up.
Richie, yeah. Maunga.
Yeah, that's how it was. So what is the story with the use of the A and the O? And is it a Taranaki thing, Rua Kere?
I think it is a regional variation of sound of language, and I think as iwi seek to demonstrate or present a localised a sense of identity around language and around how we present ourselves, and it comes across with writing, and we make decisions around how we spell words, how we present words in a way that will reflect that identity. Obviously, most people will know Maunga with an A. That is definitely the most common way of writing it, even in Taranaki. However, at certain times when there is a sense that the language needs to reflect our sense of identity, our sense of connection, then we're talking about a relationship with a Maunga. So our relationship is also to the language and how we use the word when we're speaking about Taranaki. So I think it feels natural to do that, but not all iwi and not all communities within Taranaki pronounce the word with an O. It's probably more the coast and heading down into more Mungati Ruanui area. But it's up to the individual, really.
Okay. So it's not an A or giving some reference to a kind of status or the likes, nothing like that. It's just a dialectal usage.
No.
With the bill, with the first reading, the bill addresses the commitment the Crown made to the ATIWI of Taranaki. Of course, this has been in the news through the week. It's all with Maunga with an A, it would seem.
Mm, yes. Yeah. And that makes sense when we're talking about the use of the word out nationally and to encourage understanding of the word. However, you know, when we're writing, when I'm writing and others are writing, quite often there's words like most iwi will say kwapau te moni, whereas we would write it as kwapau te moni. And in a similar way, kwamau te kōrero, when you say we would say kwamau. So a lot of words with an AU sound are pronounced with an OU sound, and I suppose we see that the same thing where some iwi will write tātou, rātou, with an AU at the end, whereas we would tend to write it with an OU, rātou, tātou. I suppose the sound is reflected in the way we write our reel. And there's multiple differences between regions. And for many iwi, the way we retain these variations is not just simply at the practical, a functional use of the language. It is also a reflection of identity. And so by using certain phrases, for example, huirangi, within a wānanga, huirangi said that the words like rāhoroi and rātapu is a very sort of Western concept, so why don't we use the expression rāhoro nuku, rāhoro rangi, which is a more grounded, a more culturally, maybe from a sense of rangi and papa, from the sense of a practical physical thing, which is rāhoroi, to a more spiritual sense, which is rātapu, would be rāhororangi. So to be able to reflect those two concepts to reflect it in the names of those days. So many within Taranaki will say Rahoro Nuku, Rahoro Rangi for a Saturday and Sunday. So I think this is just a natural way in which many communities seek to represent their identity through language, and quite often it comes through in the orthographic conventions we use locally, and that spills out into the national space, such as we've seen with the Maunga.
Tēnā koe. I really treasure, as we all should too, the dialectal differences in the use of te reo Māori. It's revealing without meaning to be, I guess, and you hear somebody speak and you say, well, that guy's from Whanganui or the like, or Taranaki's quite straightforward to pick up because of the dropping of the H's. It's interesting, isn't it, how this developed in various tribal regions. Have you delved much into the history of that dialectal difference? Because it's worth noting, because so many of our people, especially older people now, are sort of urban learners, if you will. And so you get a sort of a hotchpotch of reo if you're studying in an urban environment. And you can refine your reo too by going home. But what would you say of the interesting dynamics that exist in dialectal differences across the land?
Well, I think there's, if you know, it's almost impossible to say exactly how people spoke when Captain Cook arrived, but we need to understand that many of our communities at that time were very much isolated within their space. So there was very little travel. We didn't, obviously didn't jump in a car, but we didn't travel easily from, let's say, from Taranaki down to Wellington over to the East Coast the way we would now. So the contact between regions and the merging of the way in which people spoke at that time was very limited, and so it was a great opportunity, or the characteristic at that time was that it was easier for regional variations to form and develop and become very distinctive. With the impact of things such as the Bible, even within Taranaki, with at Pariaka, with many iwi coming to Pariaka, there was a merging of sounds, merging of words that people used. And for a long time there were people making comments that it won't be long and we will be speaking just one variation of reo Māori. But I get the sense that that's probably not going to be the case. Maybe it won't be a level of variation that was there present maybe 100 years ago. But I think more and more communities are going to make decisions around the corpus they use. The corpus is the body of language that defines or demonstrates a sense of collective identity. And they're going to make decisions whether they use the word hororangi or ratapu. Now, obviously, Sunday is not a traditional concept. However, how we decide to use those phrases is really the decisions we're seeking to present ourselves and identify ourselves when we go out. And one of the characteristics is that some of the words that we use when we're addressing people, quite often we will use a word from another dialect to describe them because that's the dialect. So if we were to mihi to someone from the East Coast, let's say I'm in Taranaki, but I'm mihi to someone from the East Coast, I'll say e te kōka. Now, kōka isn't a word that we would use in Taranaki, but I choose to use the word kōka because it reflects the identity of the person who I'm addressing. In a similar way, I might speak to a koro from Ngaitahu and I'll say e te poua. And so they would recognise that I am acknowledging the identity and the dialect and the language, well, the variation of language that is present for kaitahu. And I think as these variations become more prominent, and I think it will become more prominent because we've really only been in this space for a good 40 years or so since communities really started to begin to use reo and revive reo in a reasonable way, then we'll start to see more of the variation being used as a marker of identity as opposed to simply just the language that is used locally. So in the past, isolated communities tended to talk the language that they heard every day. We're less likely to have that situation today. We've got television, radio, we've got radio out there, where we have many regional variations being spoken. And so people are exposed to those variations all the time. And I even myself, I find myself, without even realizing it, speaking in a certain way when I'm in this context, because I've spent a lot of time with a community, let's say with an Aotearangi, and there is a certain way that we've spoken for a long time in that space. So I find my language changing slightly depending on the audience that I'm in, and that's just I think it's just a natural subconscious way in which we code switch. We do it without thinking, and we do it with English all the time. The way we speak to someone in authority, let's say we're pulled over by a policeman, we're not going to. Maybe we do, but maybe we don't speak to them like one of your old mates that you've seen for ages and use a whole lot of idiomatic phrases.
Yeah.
Maybe we seek to speak in a way that's more respectful, or at certain times maybe a little bit more aggressive.
It wasn't me.
It
wasn't me.
And I didn't lose that remote.
Good on you. Good catching up again. E te rangatira, thanks very much for sharing some time with us. Whakere.
Kia ora, mai Dale.
Kia ora, mai. Urban Māori Radio, Wātea, 6:03 a.m. Sorry to have you on hold.